Libyan government has said that an American decision to deploy unmanned aircraft as part of the NATO operation over Libya will cause further civilian deaths. The Libyan deputy foreign minister, Khaled Kayyim, said more airstrikes would undermine any claims that the U.S. and NATO are supporting democracy in Libya. The decision to use drones in Libya comes just as Senator John McCain lands in Benghazi to speak with rebel leaders. We have the BBC's Aleem Maqbool with us on the line. He is in Pakistan, where we also have a headline this morning that a U.S. drone attack killed 25 people today. Aleem, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Celeste.
Tell me about this drone attack. There are claims that there were some civilians killed among these two dozen or so people. What do we know?
Yes, that's right. I mean, what this was four missiles fired from one of these unmanned Predator drones into a compound, the compound of a tribal chief in North Waziristan, very close to the Afghanistan border in those tribal areas. And what we hear, and of course, it's always the same with these Predator strikes here in Pakistan, we can't verify it ourselves on the ground because the area is inaccessible. But what local officials are telling us is that, yes, 25 people have been killed, but among them were four women and five children, and they were in a building next to the compound that was destroyed. And so they've been killed today among those 25 people. But this is just one of many drone attacks that go in week in, week out here in Pakistan.
But it is one of many, but it comes at the same time that the Pakistan and the United States are having some serious and very public disagreements over not just drone attacks, but CIA involvement and the U.S. actions and missions in Pakistan.
Yes, that's right. We had the chair of the U.S. Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, here over the week, and he made some very bold statements here in Pakistan about Pakistan's involvement or elements within Pakistan still being involved in militancy in Afghanistan. So that rubbed people up the wrong way. Then there was the issue a couple of months ago, which I'm sure you remember, the CIA contractor Raymond Davis here in Pakistan, who shot dead two men in Lahore. And then there was a row between Washington and Islamabad as to whether he had diplomatic immunity or not. So there is something of a resurgence in anti-Americanism at the moment in Pakistan. And these drone attacks are something that really galvanize that kind of anti-American feeling. But similarly, as I say, the Americans have had their complaints about Pakistan not doing enough to combat militancy. So, yeah, it is a tense time. But as you know, and we've talked about it so many times in the past, this is a relationship between America and Pakistan that is characterized by a lot of mistrust and these ups and downs in the relationship between them. But ultimately, they both say that they recognize that they need to work together. But as I say, this issue about the drone attacks is something that, among the Pakistani public at least, seems to bring them together in this kind of anti-Americanism.
However, as the Americans begin to deploy unmanned aircraft in Libya, there may be a little bit of concern that the drone attacks will have the same response in Libya that they've had in Pakistan, i.e. that it could cause civilian deaths, and that could turn public opinion against both NATO and the United States.
Sure. I mean, there have been some successes in using the drone strikes over the last 4 or 5 years. And remember, they started under George Bush, and actually their use has increased markedly under President Obama. There have been successes. You don't need, of course, boots on the ground in what is a very difficult area in North Waziristan. And there have been some big militants who have been killed, especially in 2009, Baitullah Massoud, who was head of the Pakistani Taliban at the time. But on the downside, you know, we've had the Pakistani Taliban talk to us in the past and say, yes, okay, these drone strikes have altered our behavior. We've changed the way we work now. We don't congregate so much. We move around much more. But we also use these drone strikes to help recruit people. We go around and we say, look what the Americans are doing. They're killing civilians. They are bombing on Pakistani territory when Pakistan doesn't want them to do that. And so come and join us, and we'll fight the fight against America. So in some way, it's been a recruiting tool. I have to say, in terms of the Pakistani government, you know, no one's really clear. I mean, the feeling is that they've given their tacit approval to this strategy of using drone attacks because it means they don't have to get their hands dirty and they don't feel the repercussions, the anger when these attacks happen.
That's Aleem Maqbool, a correspondent for our partner, the BBC, joining us from Islamabad. We also have Jeremy Bowen with us, who's the BBC Middle East editor, calling us from Libya. And Jeremy, I'm wondering how the people of Libya are viewing the new strategy on the U.S. part of using unmanned aircraft.
Well, I don't know what the people think. I can tell you what the Deputy Foreign Minister thinks. He thinks that it's a retrograde step and will lead to the deaths of more civilians. The reason for that, they cite, is the way that in Afghanistan and Pakistan, sometimes they've just hit the wrong people, people who they were aiming at, but actually they had faulty intelligence, faulty targeting information, and ended up killing people who shouldn't have been killed.
Well, the United States canceled drone attacks yesterday because of bad weather, but they're expected to go forward today. This could cause chaos, then, you're saying, or is that just the claim of the Deputy Foreign Minister, if there are civilian casualties associated with these unmanned aircraft?
No, not chaos, I think. I don't think he's saying that either. He's saying that the overall death toll will rise because of the fact that they're pretty deadly weapons. I think that this gives NATO another tool, another military option, at a time when its air campaign seems to be faltering. I think what it also does is give the hawks within NATO, as far as Libya are concerned, Britain and France, some very valuable American, not just military, but political support. Because don't forget that President Obama took a bit of a back seat in all of this, even though actually in practice the Americans are still flying a fair number of missions and dropping a lot of bombs. He stepped away from the leadership of this campaign, but now the Americans are coming in and helping out at this particular time, and that's something which I think they may well feel will restore some feeling of momentum and will also send a signal that it's not just the British and the French, the Americans are there too, who are, of course, much more powerful.
Well, Jeremy Bowen, do you think it will be effective that the Libyans, when they see Predator drone attacks or hear of them, will see this as the United States helping more, even though that doesn't require any real pilots?
Depends what side of the equation you're on, helping or killing. That's the thing. Rebels may well stand and applaud, but I think people on the government side and supporters of the regime will see it as yet another intrusion by the world's preeminent power into the Middle East.
That's the BBC's Middle East editor, Jeremy Bowen. He joins us from Tripoli. Thank you so much, Jeremy. He's talking about the development. He learned just yesterday that the United States will begin to use Predator drones in Libya. We should also mention that Senator John McCain is in the opposition-held city of Benghazi at this moment, speaking with rebel leaders.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.